All right, so I've been wanting to hear about this for the last couple of weeks. And I hate the fact that it revolves around your mom's funeral.
It's fine. So while I was in recovery from surgery, I'd been home about a week, week and a half. And my mother, we moved her up here about 4 years ago. This is the mother that adopted me. She was 90 years old. And the last couple of years, the health had declined so poorly and had gone into dementia. And in the recent months, it was almost incoherent. And this was a blessing for her, for everybody.
90
years old.
It's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. She had a good run. And anyway, so she passed away on June 2nd. And I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to attend the service, which was back where I, you know, grew up in middle school and high school out in Knox City, Texas. And they pushed it back far enough that I was able to travel, and it worked out. So the plan was is to drive out. It was on a Sunday. Me and my son drove up that Sunday morning, and the plan was to meet my sister and my older brother, her birth son, at the cafe in town. So I show up, and it's about, I guess the service is about 2 o'clock. We roll in at about 12:30. And so we roll into the cafe, and the place is packed because it's after church. It's the only place to eat out in town. And I sit down at the table and with family and going through some pictures of of her family and extended family, people that I didn't know. And I'm talking to people that I don't remember and I don't know.
They know your name and you don't know theirs.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
And everybody looks different because these are people I haven't seen in decades. Well, one gentleman walks up and puts his hand on my shoulder, and I look up and I recognize him immediately. He hadn't aged a bit. And he's talking, and we're kind of, you know, getting along and shooting the S and whatnot. And he walks away, and I said, well, it's good to see you, Mr. Dillon. You know, take care. Mr. Dillon was my ag teacher that talked me into buying my pig. So this man I have not seen once.
In 30 years.
In 30 years, yeah. I mean, I might have run into him a couple of times, you know, when going back for a visit here or there.
He's still in town. Is he still doing the ag thing?
Yeah. I think a lot of these guys are retired now. But he was our FFA leader or whatever. He taught ag mechanics. You know, I learned a lot from this guy. He's a great dude. I learned how to weld. I can use an oxyacetylene cutting torch and cut metal. You know, lots of cool rural things that you learn growing up in a small town.
Is Mr. Dillon still... is he aware of the fact that you've talked about your pig before?
That didn't come up.
Okay.
We'll get to some ticket recognition briefly.
Okay.
So the next interaction that I have with former faculty at the same cafe is...
How big is this cafe?
It probably holds about 70 people.
Okay, so it's pretty good size.
Yeah, it's a decent sized little restaurant. And God, the portions, what you would expect.
Like eating a football?
It's like eating 7 footballs. So my aunt or second cousin or somebody goes, you know who that is sitting over there at that other table? And I looked over and I'm kind of, I kind of recognize him. I go, who is that? She goes, that's Coach Underwood. Coach Underwood was my basketball coach all through middle school and high school. And when my senior year, I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but after football season, I dropped out of athletics. I did not play basketball, and I did not run track that year. I wanted to focus purely on nothing, on study hall and thinking about what I was going to do to get the F out of that town as fast as possible.
And being in Van Halen.
Yes, and being the next guitarist in Van Halen. And when I made this decision, he came to my house and made me sit in his truck for about an hour one night in front of my home and sat there and tried to debate me and convince me to not quit basketball.
How dazed and confused is this?
You have no idea.
Like it's ripped straight from the script.
Yeah. You know that you're ruining your life right now.
Yes.
Like that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You're going to end up in jail because you quit basketball. I mean, that kind of rhetoric was just on and on and on. And I stuck to my guns, and I can't believe I did it because I was very... I mean, by that time I was 17, you know, and looking back, I probably wouldn't have played a lot of the athletes. I might have run track, but I wouldn't have played football. It did not behoove me, and I wouldn't have played basketball because I was terrible at it. I just happened to be the tallest kid in school.
Is this the guy?
No, this isn't Bayless Snow.
It's not.
No, Bayless Snow, that was Coach Rogers, and he doesn't live in the town anymore.
Damn it.
But anyway, so he's sitting there eating his chicken fried steak, and I walk up behind him, And I kind of put my hand on his shoulder, and I lean in, and he doesn't see me. And I whisper in his ear, I go, Coach, you need a 165-pound power forward to come off the bench and get you 5,002 points in the first half. And he looked up at me, and he goes, you know what, Bayless, I could use that about right now.
So you've not seen him in 30 years either?
It's been forever.
And he okay, were they all aware of,
oh, yeah,
of your mom? And
oh, yeah, that's why they were all there.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, they were all there.
So this
there.
Is pre-service?
This is kind of an unofficial, you know, get-together of the town. I mean, it's a tiny town. There's like 800 people that live there.
Yeah.
So we end up going to the service, and this is where it got really funny, is after the
all
service.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
It's not a long story, but yeah, we can maybe, we'll wrap it up on the other side and then do something
else. I have more questions anyway for you,
okay? All right, sounds good.
We'll have community quick hits coming up here in just a little bit, so stand by for that. But right now, let's get back into the tale of the return to Knox City.
It'd been a while, man, since Mom had moved up here a few years back. Reason to go.
When you used to go there, because you would go there 3-4 times a year.
Yeah, 2 to 3.
Okay. And when you would go, would you do straight to Mom's house, really not go out about, and not much to do, I know, but...
As I got older, it became more of that. When I was younger, a lot of my friends would come back for the holidays, and you would hook up. Like, you'd get together with your high school buddies and go grab a case of beer or whatever and go hang out or go to somebody's
like the
house.
Old days.
Yeah.
Is there a bar in town?
No.
There's not.
There's a country club, and you can be a member of a country club, and you can drink in that bar.
I'm a member of a country club.
I just said
that's good.
Don't.
Knox City.
I don't care what you said.
Okay, go ahead. Ooh. Finish it up.
Country music is what I love.
See?
Look, let me put it this way. This county is so backwards and so Bible Belt that Alsip's finally, like, they could finally sell beer inside the county lines just as a matter of, like, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. You would have to drive outside of the county to get alcohol.
And
unless it was a private club and you had one of them, and nobody was a member of that.
What is the... So, like, on the new Jason Isbell record, there's a song. And, God, I can't remember the name of the song, but he mentions the Mustang Lounge and how it could be in every town. And I picture somewhere around that area of Texas that there's got to be the equivalent of the Mustang Lounge. Where's the closest bar? Do you even know?
Like an actual bar? Probably, you'd have
Abilene?
To get closer to Abilene.
The Cumberland Gap, I believe, is the name of the song.
It's a great song, by the way.
How long?
An hour and 10.
So anytime you guys wanted to do anything...
There were liquor stores drivable,
within
10, 15 minutes.
But anytime you guys wanted to go hang, you would just get a case of beer and go to a field or
someone's
house or whatever?
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's small town Texas, big time. And you made your own fun. You had to.
Right.
So my final encounter with faculty... And this guy's been mentioned on the station before, and this was my favorite interaction that I'd had. And prior to the last segment, I had ran into my old ag teacher, which helped me decide to become part of FFA and buy a pig.
Brilliant.
And the other one was my basketball coach, who had an hour-long conversation with me in his truck when I chose to quit athletics after football season my senior year, very dazed and confused. So,
just trying to keep you on the right track, man.
You know what? And had I listened, my life might have turned out differently.
What if you
I might have gone pro?
Yeah, what if you were in the NBA still?
At 6'3", as a small point guard.
Hey, they got 6'3" guys in the NBA.
Oh, my God.
And you were the center.
Yeah, I was the 5.
At 6'3".
I was the 5, bro. And I towered.
Were you the tallest kid in your class?
Yeah, the next tallest kid was probably 6.
That is awesome.
There was a couple kids. There was a 6'2", couple 6'2" guys that were in other classes.
How tall was, what was the, Ted, the guy that took a dump in the shower?
Teddy Sanchez?
Yeah.
I don't know, like 5'9". I don't know why he did that.
No one does.
Were people amused by that?
No, people were kind of mad because...
Well, yes!
Yeah, there's a log in the shower. You don't want to go in there and have to... God. Work your way around that.
Idiot.
So the last interaction with faculty, wonderful service, very brief. You know, a lot of people showed up and paid their respects to mom, and it was very sweet. And afterwards, you know, me and my kid and sister, people are kind of paying their respects to us, and that's kind of what you do. You know, see the surviving family members and let them know how much you appreciated the departed and whatnot. This guy walks up to me, and I look right at him, and I'm like, oh, my God, this dude, I know exactly who he is. Has not aged a bit. I couldn't believe it. And the thing that, and I was talking to my friend about this later on, well, these people are still alive and still look really good, and it made me realize that when we were in high school, these people were in their 20s and 30s, and we thought they were 50.
That's what weirds me out about, like, especially my junior high coaches, is that every one of my junior high coaches, outside of, like, my ninth grade football coach, was probably 24 years old.
Yeah.
And so they were about 10 years older than me, and a 10-year gap when you were 14, like you said, it might as well be 50. Those people just, I'm sure you had junior high teachers and coaches that you looked at and you're like,
sure,
my God, you are so old.
Yeah.
They were in their 20s.
Your perspective is incredible. It's amazing how different your perspective is when you look back on it.
Yeah, as a kid.
So this gentleman walks up to me. I immediately recognize him. He pushes out his hand to shake my hand, and I'm smiling, and I reach out, and there I grab the thumbless hand of Coach Verhollen, my tennis coach.
He had a tennis coach and didn't have a thumb.
As he wraps his forefinger, using that as an opposable thumb around my hand, and I look right at him, and I said, Ronnie Verhollen, how the hell are you? My history teacher was Mr. Verhollen, and he only had one thumb. And on his other hand, it's a baby thumb. It's not even a real, fully realized thumb. Yeah, yeah.
And he was a tennis coach.
He coached tennis, and he was a fantastic English teacher. Very much into theater, the arts. He was like the... like the out of place, big city guy.
It's a little progressive
the town
for
intellectual.
That.
Yes. The town intellectual, the town professor, a little more big city, more progressive than that small town, but he still lived there. I think his parents passed away. He retired from teaching not long after I graduated, like in the 90s. He retired and took over his family's farm. They have a huge farm out there, and he runs the farm.
Wow.
Whatever they grow and livestock and whatnot. But Mr. Verhollen came up to me, and we're just kind of talking, and he goes, yeah. And he said, I know you're still on the radio up there in Dallas. I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, from time to time, I'll get an email from someone telling me that they were listening and heard about this one-thumbed tennis teacher that sang songs a cappella in history class. And
oh, man.
I just, you know, you start looking at your feet, and you're like, yeah, no, sorry, man, I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
He's like, I get it. It's fine. I go, we're not ever making fun of you. It's just people are very interested in hearing stories from a dude that grew up, you know, with a goat in science class.
We're just telling stories, not making fun.
That was my lab partner was a goat.
Oh, man.
But he thought it was funny. And they always get, you know, when I go back and see those people and had in the past, especially after working up here, because they, in a small town, they think, oh, my God, you work in radio. You're famous in Dallas. Well, everybody must know you. So they get a big kick out of that when you come back home.
Well, don't they?
What's that?
Don't they? Doesn't everybody know you?
No, not everybody.
But there's a lot. They know your family. They know of the bailiffs.
Oh, yeah. But they don't understand that working in radio actually doesn't really translate to worldwide fame.
Knox City sounds a hell of a lot like where my grandparents, you know, live, and my mom and
Wewoka?
Grew up in Wewoka. Yeah, where it's a one-stoplight town, and it's a stop sign, basically, with a little hanging light over it. But there's nothing there.
It's a flashing red.
The only restaurant was a cafe at Sansa Pizza Hut that they put in later on. And that's it. But like growing up, you know, I would spend my summers there. And so I felt like that part of my life was I grew up there. And so you met everybody. You got to know everybody. And, once I got into radio and you showed back up there, it was...
You might as well have been Frank Sinatra.
Yes, it's unbelievable the looks you get. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if you would have kept going to What's that town that your grandparents were in?
Alvarado.
Alvarado?
Yeah.
While you were doing this, the looks you would have gotten from Uncle Shorty and Aunt Fatso or whatever her name was.
Aunt Fatso.
Didn't have an Aunt Fatso.
They would have thought you were a king.
Yeah.
And that's all they want to know about. I thought, oh, you know, how the Cowboys doing this year, you know?
Because I've got some real inside information on what the Cowboys are going to do this
exactly.
year.
Exactly, yes.
You know Jerry Jones?
Oh, God. And then the thing is like the local, like your relatives, whether it was your mother, mm-hmm. I guarantee you your mother did this whenever someone, you know, Midge, would playing
Canasta
or whatever. Yeah, yeah. They're sitting there talking.
Midgets.
And she's, well, what's, I hear Danny is on the TV. And she'd be like, well, close, he's on the radio, and he's a star out there, you know? And, oh, Dan, you must be so proud of Danny, you know? And
yeah.
They pump the stories up big time.
You have to.
Yes.
I mean, it's slow out there. There's
yeah.
not a lot going on. And after the service, my best friend from high school, who still lives there, has been married to his wife for 30 years. They got three kids. They're all grown. Like, they were a very young, young family, and loved them to death. Like, he was my best friend all the way through school. He invited us over. We went over and hung out at their house, and his oldest son and mine are about a year apart, and they always grew up together out there, and we're friends. And now he's got a kid and one on the way, and Josh
God.
Is just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Who are you people? You know? And Josh referred back to a time where I dropped him off out there to stay with my mom for a week. He said, why don't you go visit your grandmother and just take in some small-town life for a week? He might have needed a kick in the pants at this portion.
Was he a teenager?
Yeah, he was a teenager, probably like 13 or 14. Might have been giving mom some problems or something and needed some straightening out. And I remember he came back. He's like, I don't know how you did it. He goes, that's the most boring week I have ever had in my entire life. He goes, and you lived there for 8 years. I'm like, yeah, you had to be creative. You didn't have all of the technology that you have now. You didn't have the big city to be able to do all of the things that you can do in a big city.
You had to make your own fun, man.
And we talked about that at my buddy's house after the funeral, and we were going over these creative things that we would do. Like, we would come up with these comic strips and just pass them back and forth and just write and add to them, and they were ridiculous, and he still got them. And my kid's like dying laughing at these, how funny they were. And it's like, that's what you had to do.
You would tend to your garden, you know, from snapping peas to picking tomatoes to, you know, you would just, I mean, it's very stereotypical small town life. You go walk it. You go to the coffee shop and stay there for 3 hours in the morning talking to your friends. My grandpa would.
Yeah. I mean, I told you about the time me and my buddies played 2-on-2 basketball. First team to 1,000 points wins.
Yeah.
You know, from sun up to sundown, and had to finish the game the next day.
Yes.
That's what you did. You had to be creative in a small town.
Do you think that's the last time you'll ever be in that town?
No. You know what? And it's a long story, but I think that I'll go back more now that I got to reconnect with my buddy from high school. There was always a lot of angst in going back. My mother and I had a very difficult relationship, and I always felt like I just want to get in and get out of there as fast as possible, because it always created a real high level of anxiety in me. Our relationship did. And I've reconciled it and come to terms with it and understand it a lot better in recent years. But I think that I'd love to go back and spend time with them.
Yeah.
And see them and hang out and go do some of the stuff that we did when we were kids and drive around out in the country and get on four-wheelers and stuff.
I will say this, and you know,
the stories that we were telling, I mean, we were just
crying,
we're in
laughing.
Stitches.
Yes.
The time, and I'll make this is a very brief story. He goes, do you remember the time that we were hanging out at night and you saw some guy walking down the alley and I was probably 13, and I said to the guy, hey, old man, you want some marijuana? And the guy looked over at me and he goes, Danny Bayless, I sure know your mother, and I'm going to tell her what you said tomorrow. He was the district attorney of Knox County. I don't know who it was. But yeah, I just offered this man, this old man, some marijuana.
Old
That's what
man.
You said? Hey, old man, do you want some marijuana? God.
Yes, because we didn't have anything else to do except be smartasses.
That's if you have an opportunity to hang out with your friends that you grew up with.
Like young growing up, like fifth grade.
There is nothing like it, and you will not laugh harder than that you can't. It's so much fun.
It is. Really is. So I think I'm going to try to make a point to at least get out there once a year and catch up with those cats because they are the best. And my God, I hadn't laughed that much in a long time, especially on a day where we buried my mother.
Right.
You know.
Right.
If you can laugh like that.
Scene.
Yeah. It was good. It was good times.